Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
Get a sound check.
Aha! Hit the drop!
I pop off when I hear people say I cannot. I get off to the thought of proving everyone wrong.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What was Gruden thinking?
If you don't know what to do, you won't play here.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What was Gruden thinking? Are you kidding me? How do you turn that down? What are you thinking?
Today's guests, Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian, Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan, actor and former NFL running back Thomas Q. Jones. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California, on this Westwood One radio affiliate, coast to coast, and the Odyssey app. And we say hello to our YouTube viewers, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Yes, you can watch the Rich Eisen Show every single day right here on our YouTube page until we land on the Roku channel for free. Sometime in September. We will be there very shortly, and we are excited to be coming to the Roku channel in September. But for the moment, hello to our YouTube viewers, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And we say hello to everybody in the chat room, the 457s. We say hello to you here on this Tuesday.
Chat's been rebranded.
I don't know what you mean by rebranding. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
What's up, Rich?
Good to see you. Jay Felly sitting in the chair for DJ Mikey D, who's somewhere, someplace. Good to see you.
What's up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson lighting the candle. What's going on over there, TJ?
Atmosphere and ambiance, Rich.
Atmosphere and ambiance. That's the old A&A. Very good. Good to have you all with us here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on whatever's on your mind. We start today's show with the date of June 30th. Let me do the math. It's 31 plus 23, 45 days ago. Month and a half. Pretty much, right?
We're not good at
45 days ago. Did I get the math right? I'm more verbal than math.
That's all of us.
44 days?
Well, 31 and 20, 44. Okay. I'm terrible at math.
That's all right.
We should never count.
I carried the one. So here we are, 44 days later. From the day that Kevin Durant let it be known, I want to be traded away from the Brooklyn Nets. Fascinatingly enough, just a couple of days after Kyrie Irving says, I'm staying with the Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
And so he says, I'm staying with the Brooklyn Nets. And then Durant says, I wish to leave the Brooklyn Nets. And we're all wondering, so is it because Kyrie came back? Does he have a problem with Kyrie Irving being unreliable? Whether it was last year with the vaccine mandate or the previous season where he was troubled by social events in our country and took time off. At least that's why the absence that occurred a couple times in the previous season with Kyrie Irving in the Nets, but one was particularly protracted over 2 weeks. Maybe he had had enough of that, even though the two of them teamed up together when he left Golden State to show up in Brooklyn. But it was not that, apparently. It was apparently, as we learned later in July or earlier this month, and kind of lose track, he had an issue, apparently, with the coach and the general manager, Steve Nash and Sean Marks. Durant let it be known he will stay if they go. And true or not? Well, apparently it was true because Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, came out and said, I'm sticking with my coach and general manager. But he said he was also sticking with Durant. How do you square that circle? Well, apparently the circle was squared yesterday. Or the square was circled yesterday. Or some shape, some sort of geometry happened yesterday. Here in Los Angeles. We weren't even invited.
Circle gets the square.
The Hollywood Squares. It was the Hollywood Squares.
Whoopi Goldberg for the block.
Actually... There is no block. It's all fun and games now. Because The genie has been put back in the bottle. Sean Marks, the general manager in question, released a statement today saying Steve Nash and I, together with Joe Tsai and Clara Wu Tsai, his wife, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman, friend of the program, I added that, in Los Angeles yesterday. We have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. And interestingly enough, the logo's at the bottom of the statement, the Brooklyn Nets logo, and the boardroom. So they're co-branding with Kevin Durant, not just playing basketball. Look, that's a partnership. Maybe that's part of the partnership. They're co-branding the boardroom and the Brooklyn Nets. Is that what it was all about? Co-branding? So Durant staying put, or to use, I guess, the Ben Simmons phrase, Kevin Durant has re-entered the conversation. Because there's that one too. Ben Simmons acquired by Sean Marks, only to not play at all. And then have a back injury that sparked again just when it was time for the playoffs. And rumor had it, stories have it, reporting has it. The Nets had a teamed text chat chain texting Simmons, would be nice to have you back here in time for game four so we don't get swept by the Celtics. And according to reports, he exited that text chain. He exited the conversation, which is the 21st century way of giving everybody the middle finger.
New phone, who this?
I understand.
So, put it all together. Kyrie Irving decides, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get that money elsewhere. I'll just go back. Durant says, you know what? I'm out. Oh, you know what? I'll just go back. Simmons, I'm assuming, has re-entered the chat. So the 2022-2023 Brooklyn Nets have a new rallying cry.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
There it is.
That's pretty good.
Put on a banner.
That's pretty good.
Put on a t-shirt.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Brooklyn Nets basketball. Yeah, sure. Why not?
And we'll, that would be great to post on a billboard, man.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Okay. It's the picture. Yeah, what else are we going to do? Okay. Well, you know, what else are we going to do? That's basically what the current belief outside of the Nets building is. Perhaps there is a true belief that this can work because I said it first week of July. First week of July. I even ducked underneath the table after I said it. What if the Nets tell Kevin Durant?
Tough.
No.
Yeah.
We're not trading you.
Sorry, dude.
No. Kyrie's opted back in. Ben Simmons is going to be, I guess, remade the $6 million man, right? Seth Curry's there. Harris is coming back, right? We got a team. This is the best chance you all have to go get a championship or be paid what you're going to be paid to win a championship in New York City, by the way. So we'll just say no. We'll say yes, Kyrie, welcome back. And no, Kevin, you're not leaving. And I guess what this was a 44-day long no.
54, sorry
54
about
day
that.
Long no. God, jeez, how terrible are we at math?
Not great.
We can all spell pretty well, though. So there's
31, that. 23, 54.
Good Lord, I should have written it down.
We got it now.
A 54 day long no.
That was longer than Tom Brady's retirement.
Yes, I agree. It was. And I guess that's the way you say no to Kevin Durant. It's just like, okay, you know what? You go find a spot if you want. And then we'll listen. And in the process of us listening, we'll just blow up the Celtics relationship with Jaylen Brown for a minute. You know, we'll do that. We'll cause Jaylen Brown to get all pissed off with the rumors that the Celtics are listening for the Nets entreaties.
Messed up their chemistry.
A little bit.
Had Brock fired up.
Right. How many other teams are going to say, we'll blow up our team for Durant? Leak those things out so everybody knows when it doesn't happen that your team was willing to part with you for Durant. FY. It's just a little FYI, Boston.
For your information.
As we learn, by the way, that Jason Tatum was significantly injured during his spectacular season in which he played an absurd amount of minutes and almost got the Celtics to the promised land. So
that's insane.
There's that.
I didn't even talk about that yesterday.
There's that.
Got a hairline fracture in his wrist for a couple months.
Yeah, but we knew something was...
He was first-team All-NBA.
We thought it was his shoulder when he came, went running off the court in the playoffs and then came back. After Marcus Smart did the same thing. But at any rate, this is about the Nets for the moment, trying to get to the point where they could at least win a single playoff game against those Celtics. And so that's going to be the question. Every single time that this team takes the court, body language, timeout, they're going back to the huddle. Who's going to listen to Coach Nash? Who's doing that? Body language, every single time. Get ready for it. And it's at least they're not in a media market that's not going to be talking about it all the time. Wait a minute.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
And then trade deadline starts to roam around. What happens if the Nets are around 500 and Simmons isn't playing? Or he is playing and he doesn't seem like he's the same. But kudos to Joe Tsai, man. Holding his ground. He's got a great team on paper, but as my friend Kenny Mayne would say, games aren't played on paper, they're played inside TV sets, and we will be turned to these games and tuned into these games in a significant way to see how this all shakes out. This was truly the only play the Nets could have had, which is get Kyrie back, tell Durant you're staying put. Somehow, some way, Ben Simmons realizes his career is at some form of a crossroads. And he comes back, and Steve Nash weaves it all together, and everybody buys what he's selling. And everybody's healthy, and the team meshes, and Nash knows how to weave it all together. And hunky-dory, Nets have a shot at a one seed, a two seed, and look out. Because Durant is Durant, and Kyrie's Kyrie, and Simmons used to be Simmons, and Steve Nash knows a lot of basketball from his outstanding playing days, and the bench does well, and everybody does well.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's it. 2022-2023 Nets. Yeah, sure. Why not?
I want to see that on billboards, on the side of buses, that's and subways so in New York City.
Funny.
Everywhere. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Doesn't that sum it up? It sums it up. Bobby Cannavale sums it up. As he's making sure that his parking spot was secured outside in front of his Brooklyn spot.
By the way, one of the greatest parking jobs of all time.
Indeed, sir. Indeed. So what do you guys think out there? 844-204-RICH, or you could chime in on the chat room, all you 457s out there.
Putting up a poll right now. Yes. Rich Eisen Show. Yes. Now that Durant's back, how far the Nets go? Lose in the first or second round, lose in the Eastern Finals, lose in the NBA Finals, win the NBA title.
But Durant, in the same way that you always point out, Brady never used the word retire. Durant never left.
He asked for a trade. I mean, that technically is saying, like, I don't want to be here.
That's correct.
Like,
and how about that? How about that? He says, I want a trade, and he doesn't get one.
Kyrie and Durant are back, really, right?
What is this world coming to in the NBA?
I mean, Kyrie was going to the Lakers for a second, I thought.
I know.
Brockman, I tried to tell you neither one of them are leaving that team for months.
You're kind of on that.
Man. What, did he just admit?
Celtics, wow. Nets games will be lit with Jaylen Brown going against the Nets, Kyrie going against the Celtics, Sixers versus Nets games.
This guy texted me this morning, what if the Sixers get KD? And I was like, you'll lose in the first round?
I hate you.
Lit. It's going to be great. Same thing with this program. On this show, Thomas Q. Jones, 10,000-yard rusher in the NFL, now a successful actor, will be here in studio. Always love checking in with him. Cam Jordan of the New Orleans Saints. He's a delight. And can't wait to check in on a team that nobody's talking about that has an opportunity to make the playoffs this year, for sure. And I'm sure he's got an opinion on the hit on Kayvon Thibodeau that is perfectly legal, as I found out on Twitter. The offensive line Twitter has made me, along with Emmanuel Acho, public enemy number one. but I don't know what Emmanuel said after he went all in on Thibodeau being hit and how horrible it was. I know I made a mea culpa yesterday, and I guess we got to get our information out a little bit more because I have been offensive line Twitter's favorite punching bag over the last 24 hours. Even though I came on the show yesterday, raised my hand, and said, my bad.
Social media is tough, Rich.
Oh, it's all right.
It is tough.
I got a thick skin. And 1.2 million Twitter followers of my own to strike Ooh, back with.
Stun on them, Rich. Stun on them.
With my chest.
Throw deep, baby.
That was deep, baby.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Also, hey, you know what's coming up next?
I like to fill
you. You know what's coming up next in 5 minutes' time? Steve Sarkisian.
Hey, Sark.
Of Texas football.
Have they been in the news at all this summer?
I can't wait. I want them to win it all, not just because there's so many UT fans that would want to, just to see if Ohio State fans own this quarterback, too, that they had watched being sent somewhere to the Gulf South. States. They'll own Quinn Ewers too, because he sat in a meeting room for a year and saw CJ Stroud do so well. He's like, I got to get out of here.
Okay, I got to go.
And Steve Sarkisian's like, we're starting him. Okay. Kid from Southland, Texas. Going to start playing ball in Austin, Texas, September 10th, 2022. Alabama at Texas. Hey now. So Sark taking the latest former Saban assistant to go against Saban. This is going to be lit. It's going to be great. He's joining us in just 5 minutes' time. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I'm following baseball again. TJ Jefferson is not. Great day. Great day on the Rich Eisen Show.
You
are
back.
Oh, yeah. But like Durant, I was never gone. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the YouTube stream and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network affiliate. Steve Sarkisian, hook him when we come back. Back here with our terrestrial radio outfit. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. He is the head coach of Texas Longhorns football. He is none other than Steve Sarkisian here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How are you, coach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I didn't even know there was other sports going on in the world right now. You guys are talking NBA basketball.
Yes.
I thought it was all football, football, football.
Well, you know what? I feel the same way. But then when Kevin Durant says, I want to trade, and then doesn't get one 54 days later and says, I'm back, that's the conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Got it. Okay.
What else do you need? Do you need traffic and weather together? I can do that, too. I can provide that here on the twos or whatever. So that's a no. Okay. How are you, Coach? What's going on in your world?
I'm great, man. We, kind of wrapping up training camp, started school, and just getting excited for college football again. You know, there's nothing – I love this time of year, getting ready for the football season. Obviously, college football, high school football is cranking it up. NFL's around the corner. There's nothing like the falls and – Here we go. It's about that time.
Let's get into it. So your decision to go with Quinn Ewers at quarterback was based on what, Coach?
I think this with Quinn. You know, he's a very talented young man. And, he's a guy that, graduated high school a year early and went to Ohio State last fall and then came to us this spring. You know, so we've kind of looked at him almost like his number one player in the country in this year's class if he would have stayed, but reclassified and went out. But since he's shown up, he's been a great teammate. He's been really coachable, and he's just a guy that, quite frankly, can make all the throws. You know, he's very comfortable in our system of pushing the ball down the field. He's got a really quick release, and I like the leadership. I like what he provides. I like the way the guys respond to him when he's in the game, and I feel comfortable about the people that we have around him at the skilled spots that he doesn't have to be the guy to make all of the plays, that they can make the plays for him. So we feel really good about it.
What is Texas affording him that, pardon me, I have to say correctly, the Ohio State did not? What do you think, Coach Sark?
I don't know. I think it was a difficult situation. You know, he didn't go to Ohio State last year until I think they might have already started training camp, and that's difficult. You're a true freshman. You go into a different setting with a bunch of guys that you really didn't get recruited with. You're kind of behind the eight ball trying to learn a new system. You're away from home. I think for us, naturally, he knows a lot of the guys on this team because, you know, for being from Texas makes sense to him. Got himself an entire offseason from winter conditioning to spring ball to summer to get acclimated. I just think all in all, it's just a better setup for success. You know, I don't think it was anything against Ohio State. I think it was just difficult for Ryan and their team to get him acclimated as quickly as they needed to, where we had months to get him prepared for it.
Steve Sarkisian, Texas Longhorns head football coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. How does one get ready for Louisiana Monroe on September 3rd when there's Alabama a week later? What do you do there, Coach Sark?
Well, I think the one thing for us, you know, Rich, we have 35 new scholarship players out of our 85 on our roster. So we've got a lot of new faces, whether they're high school kids, whether they're transfers. So we've got to get everybody acclimated to who we are and how we go about our business. You know, I think at the end of the day, we've got to focus on what we need to do. You know, we recognize, hey, we're trying to figure out Louisiana Monroe, who's got, you know, new coordinators on both sides of the ball. We're trying to get ourselves right. We recognize, we know who's coming week two. But if we don't put our best foot forward in week one, if we don't start getting ourselves in a position to play at a really high level, regardless of the opponent, we're all going to feel upset about it. So we got to focus on what we need to do. And you know, it's the old adage, you know, you take them one game at a time. But
yes,
I think for us, I think it really is that. You know, we're breaking in a new quarterback. We've got a lot of new faces. We got some young players up front. So we got to make sure that we're getting our ducks aligned to have a successful season. And then as the opponents come, then you got to prepare for the opponent.
And it just so happens the opponent is Alabama, though, and a guy on whose staff you once coached, obviously, in Nick Saban. But also with Texas going to the SEC in short order, in soon order, the conversation nationally, and I'm sure your kids hear it, is that Texas is going to get stomped once they get to the SEC. And what better way to combat that than place this calling card down on September 10th? Wouldn't you say, Coach?
Well, you know what people say, I really don't give a crap, quite frankly. I care about us playing good football. Mm-hmm. And whether we're in the Big 12 or the SEC or Conference USA, it really doesn't matter. It's about the product and what we put on the field. And so we're focused on what we need to do. You know, at the end of the day, people can say, I told you so, or people got to eat their words. You know, that's up to us.
The I don't give a crap line, was that given to you by McConaughey? Did he write that down for you to bust out in an answer?
No, I'm sure he'd probably say it a little more eloquently than I would.
I don't know about that. When was the last time you spoke to McConaughey? When was the last time you spoke to Matthew?
I spoke to him a month or so ago.
Right.
I don't know. He's been around a bit. You know, COVID was hard on everybody of getting connected, especially when I first got the job. But he's been around a little bit more now, was out at the spring game, was out when we opened the new Moody Center. So it's been great to see him. He's obviously a tremendous Longhorn.
Okay. Most important question I might ask during this entire interview, or I will. Who's got the better hair, McConaughey or Quinn Ewers? Who's got the better hair? What do you got for me?
Oh, man.
Evaluate. The eye in the sky doesn't lie, Coach. Come on now.
Yeah, you know, I think McConaughey keeps his hair, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know what product he's got in there, but he definitely, the hair, is it looks nice. Mm-hmm. Quinn, he kind of just lets it go, lets it flow. And but that's kind of, I think, what we like about him. You know, he kind of, that's the way he plays the game, just kind of lets it rip.
Coach Steve Sarkisian, Texas football Longhorn head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. How has NIL changed your world, Coach?
Pretty dramatically. I think for all of us in college football, and I don't think it's just NIL. I think there's been some pretty radical changes that have occurred in college football. You can talk about NIL. You can talk about the transfer portal. You can talk about conference realignment. You know, we're in a changing times right now in the space that we operate in, and like an old boss of mine once told me, you know, adapt or die. And you know, there's a reason dinosaurs aren't here anymore, right? They couldn't adapt. And so we've got to continually adapt to the changing times. NIL is part of that. The transfer portal is part of that. Conference realignment is part of that. And we've got to make sure that we're doing our part as coaches to navigate through that. But never lose sight of our job is to make sure that we're putting our players in the best position to be successful. And so regardless of what they're doing off the field from an NIL perspective, regardless of what conference we're in, regardless of a guy might transfer, might not, we still got to coach them hard. We still got to put them in position to be successful.
Have you had a player, coach, come into your office or you into their living room and say, I've been offered this by one school for an NIL deal. You match it. I come to Texas. Has that happened yet to you?
Not so directly. I think people still are pretty tactful about things like that. But, you know, you gotta read between the lines. It's like anything. You know, you go through life, you got to have the ability to read the coverage, as I say. And you know, if it looks like cover two and it smells like cover two, it's probably cover two. And so, you know, now how are you going to react to those things? And I think at the end of the day, you know, as we've been preaching and banging on, and we've been recruiting really good for the last 2 years, is we want people that want to be at the University of Texas because they love this place. They love our football program. They love the history and tradition. They love the education, the power of the degree. They love the city of Austin. You know, whenever I talk recruiting, NIL is on the back burner, because if you're coming here because of NIL, you're coming for the wrong reasons. You know, could it be something, you know, special here? We've got a great city. It's an up and coming city. The economy's tremendous. We've got, you know, a lot of the tech world is moving here. I mean, it's fantastic. But don't come play football at the University of Texas because of that. Come here because we've got a rich history and tradition. We've got a great stadium. We are going to the SEC. We've got a really good roster right now. The byproduct of that will be, you know, maybe you'll get some NIL deals because we've got a great city to live in.
Well, I mean, but you've been around the pro game as well, Coach. I mean, it does seem like the college world is heading in that direction. It really does, just in terms of the amount of money, in terms of, you know, Texas, Oklahoma going to the SEC. I'm sitting here in Los Angeles, another spot you used to coach in. This is Big Ten country now. I mean, it's crazy, but this is Big Ten country. Do you get that sense? Super conferences, sort of like an AFC and an NFC is coming in college football?
I don't know. I mean, it's moving, you know, and how far and how much we shift, I don't know. That one was, you know, what you're talking about with SC and UCLA, having grown up in LA and having spent a lot of my career at USC, them being in the Big Ten is kind of, that one kind of shook me a little bit.
Yeah, but right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's so much just change that's happening in college football right now. And they all seem like the biggest issue. The transfer portal seems like a huge issue. NIL seems like a huge issue. Conference realignment seems like a huge issue. How far is all this stuff going to go? The TV contracts that now are getting signed, just got signed by the Big Ten, and kind of what's going to happen moving forward. These are massive issues going on. And I think, like we've been talking to our kids about, we got to focus on what's right in front of us right now. Control what we can control. The powers that be are going to make the necessary decisions. Then we got to adapt to them. And, you know, obviously you mentioned in a couple of years we'll be going to the SEC. And what does that look like? I don't know. What I do know is we're playing in the Big 12 right now. What I do know is SC and UCLA are still in the Pac-12 right now. So we got to focus on what we can control, and that's putting our best foot forward and our best team out there on the field this year.
Well, then before I let you go, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to chat with you before that game against Alabama, but what did you glean from Nick Saban being around him that you did take with you to Texas, Coach?
Yeah, Sark? I mean, a lot, obviously. I mean, he's, you know, the greatest to ever do it. For a reason, you know, but I think one of the things that he does a tremendous job of, you know, he lives a very regimented, disciplined life. And what I mean by that is he's very scheduled. He knows what he's going to do, what times of the day. And in turn, that spills over into the entire organization. That spills over into the team. You know, that they operate in a way that is very structured. It's very disciplined. That they know what is expected of them on a daily basis. And I think that's a byproduct of who Nick is as a person. That doesn't mean they don't have a lot of fun. That doesn't mean that they're not tough and physical. That doesn't mean that they don't, you know, play fast and anything else. But I think it all stems from kind of the regimented discipline that he has in his life, that then in turn kind of bleeds into the organization and to the team.
So are you saying you gleaned from that and then your life is more disciplined now in
Texas? Well, I think it was helpful. It was really good for me to kind of see it and then live it in a way that, man, this is what I do on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock, or this is, you know, this is what my game planning looks like. This is when I make my recruiting calls. And then it allows everybody else, that structure allows everybody else to kind of fall in line with what you're doing. And it minimizes the unknown, you know, it minimizes the uncertainty, and it keeps everybody, you know, kind of time on task.
Hmm. And so what's the angriest you ever made him, Coach? What's the angriest that happened?
Wow.
You got a good one on that one?
There was one day in practice. Mm-hmm. We were working on kind of a big personnel, almost a short yardage type situation.
Yeah.
And I could not get the formation right that he wanted me to align up in. And mm-hmm. man, he was upset with me because I was a new coordinator, and obviously I was instilling some things offensively that I thought would be beneficial to the team. And I clearly didn't do a good enough job of learning what they had been doing offensively. And so that was one time. We kind of still get a little bit of a chuckle about that one, but that was about the most upset I got him. And that was in practice. It was not in the game.
I don't know if you saw, he got in a contract extension, so he's not going anywhere anytime
soon. He deserves it. He probably needs more than that, whatever he got. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is great whenever I get a chance to talk to him and try and pick up things from him myself, just talking ball with him. I can only imagine what's been like in a meeting room, and now you'll be across the field against him in just a few weeks' time, which is something that so many people are looking forward to, college football right around the corner. Coach, I appreciate the time. Right here.
Appreciate you guys.
Let's do this again soon. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
You got it. That's Coach Sark, Steve Sarkisian, Texas football. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Texas, Alabama, then in October, Texas A&M, Alabama. Does Alabama play Georgia? Or once again, they don't?
I don't think they do, actually.
What's the hell is with that?
I'm not the SEC schedule.
But I don't understand it. How do they not play every year? What the hell?
Because
they figure that they're going to play for the championship?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Probably.
Man, I'd love Michigan to just take those times off every now and then against their top opponent.
This is not about Michigan.
No, but it
you're making it about Michigan.
I am, because it's, for some reason, Michigan every year, it's got to be Penn State, got to be Michigan State, got to be Ohio State.
They're in your division in conference. Oh, that's gosh. How that works. Alabama, Georgia, not in the same division.
So what? We're playing Iowa. First game on the road in the Big Ten, where Big Ten seasons go to die.
You're in the top 10. That game shouldn't be close against
Iowa. But
Alabama
didn't play Georgia last year, right?
They played in the championship game.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean?
Come on.
Why do you need to play them twice? Do you want to play Ohio State twice?
No,
you don't. Exactly.
No. But I guess that's the way the SEC makes sure one of them gets through, is avoid the
usually
two top teams playing each other.
Usually they both get through if,
yeah,
you know, they're also better than everyone.
Come on. How is Alabama not playing Georgia in the regular season? Because 2 years in a row.
I don't know what the
They are in the same conference, right?
Well, what's the point?
What do you mean, what's the point? It's that they're in the same conference. You should get to have to play them.
They are. They play each other for the SEC championship.
But that's not a guarantee, is it?
I mean, it pretty much is.
Oh, my gosh. LSU fans want to hear from you. Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk Yankees-Mets game, but not the reason why you think I'm talking about it, though.
Because you actually won? That's not...
No.
Okay.
That is not why I'm going to talk about it. That's not why the country's talking about it. That's not why a video now currently has over 8 million views, I believe.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd skip over that, but apparently we're not.
We're not skipping over it.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Coming back here on the program. This needs to be brought to this audience.
Does it, Rich? It doesn't.
And discussed.
Oh, wait. Discuss. Is it the guy?
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When Callaway engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, it didn't just make the best players better. It made everyone better. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers, everybody, including me. The Chrome Soft family's got the best tour performance for every type of performance. I use the regular Chrome Soft, designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, and incredible forgiveness. I use the triple track technology. I love those lines on the golf ball. That actually makes me putt better. I feel better.
I love it for putting. It's perfect.
It is great. I love it. ChromeSoft X provides excellent spin consistency and tour level short game control for better players looking for more workability. And finally, the ChromeSoft X LS gives you that lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still with a high spin around the greens if the you is somebody who's pretty damn good at golf. Now every ChromeSoft is enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specs up to 1/1000th of an inch. Look, when you add it all up, it's pretty simple. ChromeSoft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which ChromeSoft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Tim in New Jersey, let's take his phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show at 844-204-RICH. What's up, Timothy?
Hey, Rich, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey,
how are you today?
Where you been? What exit are you from, Tim?
Originally, I'm from exit 17 off the Parkway.
Okay.
Not the Turnpike, but now I'm down by Shilly, so I'm exit 4 off the Turnpike.
Oh, so right around where Dr. Oz lives.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I lived in Shilly for about 13 years and then moved out to Southern Jersey.
Okay, sure. So what's on your mind?
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes I have a hard time interpreting these Jets games, and, you know, I know there's a lot of hype around preseason, but I just wanted to kind of pick your brain on the first half of the Jets-Falcons game. And so there's obviously a lot of narratives going on with Zach Wilson going down, Flacco having to come in and kind of be the starter. Then we wanted to probably, I would imagine, get our second and third string guys like a lot more work, assuming that we may need some depth this season. But, like, how did you interpret the quality of the offense and defense in the first half versus the quality in the second half?
Wow. Look at you, Tim. Here's the thing. I'll be honest with you, man. I only watched it. I was flipping back and forth between Jets, Falcons, and Mets, Yanks. Because right now, my Yanks need my support. And I'm locked in on that. And I'm particularly nervous about the way things are going there. And the Jets, in a preseason game against the Falcons, here's the way I look at it, Tim. Is that clearly they need Zach Wilson to get back and get back soon. They're not making the playoffs. And also, you know, with the ultimate of respect to Mike White and Joe Flacco, we need to see Garrett Wilson evaluated properly and Breece Hall evaluated properly. And we need to see, you know, the rest of the offense take a step forward. And that's got to happen with Zach Wilson. We got to get him back out there and healthy and see what he can do. And go through whatever lumps he's going to go through, or heaven forbid, he can take a literal step and then a monster figurative step forward. That said, I am really bullish on the Jets defense. How does that sound? I'm really, I'm trying to control myself, but I look at Sauce Gardner and I see a defensive rookie of the year. I just do. I see a guy that's not going to get thrown at. I see a guy that's going to actually not get thrown at and help that pass rush that the, you know, Jermaine Johnson looks really good. The rest of that pass rush, I think, is much improved. And I just think that kid in the back of the defense taking away what he's going to take away. And I think the, first couple of opponents from the AFC North, because the Jets are in the AFC North for the first month of the season, they might test him. They might throw in his direction. And I think that's going to be a mistake. And I think a lot of teams are going to learn that fast. And I think he is going to be not just an anchor on the field, but in the locker room and in the community. I am so high on Sauce Gardner, but anybody who takes in the show knows that I've been that since I saw him physically in person for the first time at the Combine and pounded the table for him until I heard his name, thankfully, in Las Vegas to the Jets. That's the way I'm looking at him.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I'm super bullish on Ahmad Gardner, too, because
You got to call him Sauce. Yeah. You got to call him Sauce, Tim.
No, he doesn't get the sauce, right? Until he gets his first 6-6 in the regular season.
Well, you know what? That's the Luke Fickell way of looking at it. I appreciate you taking in the show, Tim. Thanks. Call back. Let's chat. I like that. That's good. But he's Sauce here.
Sauce.
Planet Sauce.
Sauce. Sauce. Right. You were watching fourth quarter mop-up time?
I was not. I was too busy watching the Yanks and the Mets.
He wanted you to really break down the preseason game with third stringers, man.
I love it.
Wait, what?
I was watching just to see what the final score was.
What?
Of the football
did
game.
Did you really wager on that
I did
game?
Not, actually.
Okay, good for you.
Would it surprise you if he did, though?
No.
Yeah.
Yanks Mets big game. Yanks needed it. They got it. They actually beat Max Scherzer. Judge actually homered off of Max Scherzer after having a dreadful appearance against Max Scherzer in Queens a couple weeks ago. So, but that's not what most of the country and everybody's taking out from this game.
I know what you're talking about.
Look, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I grew up in Yankee Stadium. I've seen all types. I have seen all types on the four train. I've seen all types in the bleachers. I've seen all types. I used to, my friends and I, in the Stump Merrill Yankee years, used to get general admission seats, which is like in the top five rows of the stadium. We went right behind home plate. I saw the bird's eye view. It was amazing. I went to bat day as a kid. I did all sorts of stuff. Okay, I've been there and done that. I have seen all types. And just when you thought you've seen them all, dude. I'm a 53-year-old man. I've never seen this before.
Amazing.
This man needs to be identified. He is poking a hole using his straw into the tops and bottoms of a hot dog and then sucking the meat out of the straw and then placing the straw away. And then now that there is a tube in the tube of the hot dog, he is sipping his beer through the hot dog. Now, I've heard about, hey, you go to the game, let's have a hot dog and a beer. Not a hot dog in the beer, using the hot dog as a conveyance to consume the beer. I've never seen this before. I don't understand it. At least he doesn't take the innards part of the hot dog. Doesn't go to waste. He sucks it out of the straw.
Yeah, can't waste.
Just in case, what, he wants to use the straw later? I mean, I don't
never
understand.
Know. Yeah, you never know.
And then places it in the beer, like in front of others, like he's in public. Like, sir, people can see you.
Genius.
People can see you do this.
Hey, by the way, genius move? I mean,
yeah, it's amazing.
Why?
I wish I thought of that first.
Does the beer taste better sucking it through the hot dog?
Probably. The two of my favorite things put together. I can't wait to try that.
A hot dog and a beer is the classic combination. You go to the game, I'm going to have a hot dog and a beer.
Dog and a beer.
You eat the hot dog and you drink the beer. You don't pop a hole through the hot dog, suck out the meat from the straw,
pause.
Place the straw away, pause. Then you don't go ahead and use the hot dog to consume your beer through the hot dog. Your mother's watching, sir. So all together, this human being, and I will ask anybody who wants to chime in, 844-204-RICH, you want to put it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Genius? Madman.
Got
Those
it.
Are the two choices.
Right,
is so, this person
dude.
A genius or a madman?
Game
He's a madman. That's what I choose. Hannibal Lecter would do this if he was somehow free and at a baseball game. That's like the fava bean genius. In the nice Chianti. You don't poke a hole through the fava bean and consume the Chianti. That guy is a madman.
All right, it's up on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show. Dude at Yankees last night
what
drinking
the hell?
A beer through
in
a hot
public,
dog.
Like, do that in your own home.
Genius.
Get a room.
I'm at the point now where every time I see something like this, I go, this person is, this isn't real, and they're just doing this to try to make a viral video.
Of course, I saw this on John Boy Media.
Yeah, me too.
The point is that gives you pause that says maybe this is a setup is because the camera was trained on this individual from start to finish, which makes me think either A, it's a setup, mm-hmm. or B, that wasn't his first hot dog straw and beer
of the night.
Right. Of the night.
That's a consideration.
Wait a minute, he got another hot dog and another beer. I need to get my phone out.
Film this.
Here we go.
It's a glizzy straw.
And then he did it again. Which means he's a gluttonous madman.
At least he didn't add relish or anything.
Oh.
I mean,
isn't it Nathan's hot dog? What kind of hot dogs?
I don't know.
Games?
By the way, speaking on behalf of Judaism, definitely not kosher. To put a hot dog in
a
beer.
Kosher beer, maybe.
I don't think so.
I don't think that exists.
Beer kosher? Yeah, is
that a thing? That's okay, mixing. That's milk. That's mixing kosher and non-kosher.
I'm asking you guys. There's 50%.
I don't
of the
believe.
Room
let's
is...
just put it this way. I do not believe that was blessed by a rabbi.
What if he's a rabbi?
I don't think so either, sir.
I doubt that.
Okay. I'm just throwing out.
But that is bold. That is bold. Like I'm in public.
Mm-hmm. I got a hot dog.
What's the first time he's ever done this?
this is not.
This is, not, this is clearly not his first rodeo.
Yeah,
first,
but the way that whole rodeo. Thing was set up, he had his whole like thing down. Like you're right, he's done that multiple times. It's not his first rodeo.
Not his first Yankees game, too, probably. So someone just noticed and was like,
"Last time,
yo."
Last time we saw something viral from Yankee Stadium in the stands, it was a chiropractor from upstate New York who was wearing a Mets hat and a Red Sox.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right?
Yep.
And we're like, why are you going to a Yankee game dressed like that? And it was paying off a bet. That guy called in. We need to find out this individual, and I need to hear from you, sir. I need an explanation.
He might be in witness protection after that.
Hey, look at this. Poking a hole, poking a hole. Pussy. By the way, impressive. It just takes two stabs at it to create an entire tube.
Again, that's what I'm saying. He's a pro at this.
Not his first time.
Right?
Not his first
time. And look, not even a
wince. Wait a minute. He was poking considerably on either side, and that's what got somebody to say, like, he's not going to really drink through it, is he?
What is this guy doing? I need to film this.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I can't wait to try
many questions. But there's only one answer. Madman. Madman.
Okay, Jay, can you try this tonight?
Absolutely.
Film yourself, and then we can play this tomorrow. You're here the rest of the week, right?
Yep. I think I'm here for 2 or 3 weeks.
We got to get... really? I was told the rest of this week and part of next. I didn't realize we're told about a third week.
Oh, I'll let you know.
That was the highest register of all time.
Really?
Really?
I mean, you got to get a sturdy straw.
Yeah, none of those paper straws. That ain't working.
Because like, a soggy hot dog ain't going to work as a straw itself.
What's the strangest thing you've used as a straw?
What?
Like, I've used Twizzlers before.
Yeah, Twizzlers as a straw, for sure.
I've done that multiple times.
That's about it. I mean, what else?
Not a
has
dog.
A hole in it.
Mean, what the hell?
That was so strange, man.
Now that I think about it, okay, I would do, just trying to think of weird stuff I would use as a straw. You know those like long twist donuts?
Okay.
I would put a hole in that and drink a milkshake out of that.
But it wouldn't last, though.
It wouldn't last because it doesn't, you know, at least the hot dog has got a hard casing around it.
Okay, that's true.
So the liquid is not going to defray the conveyance.
You get like 2 good sips out of that.
Okay. I'm just throwing out ideas here.
I mean, yeah, I know.
What about, like, well, you couldn't put a hole in, like, what, pretzel rod?
Ooh.
That would work.
That's possible.
Yeah, but that's, like.
But you also got really to put, really dig in
Yeah,
there.
You would have to use, like,
this guy was just like,
drill.
1, 2, in the beer, done.
Not his first time. I need to know when this started.
You know who I'd like to get an opinion on this is, why am I blanking on his name?
Joey Chestnut?
Joey Chestnut.
I got you.
You two spend a lot of time together.
Yeah. How about that? That's impressive.
You literally just said, you know who?
You know, I know.
But when you think hot dogs, you should think Joey Chestnut.
That's the one.
So, yeah.
Or Kobayashi,
yeah,
right?
Kobayashi. One or the other. Or Badlands Booker, one of those guys.
We should get Joey Chestnut. What does he think? Does he think even this is beyond the pale?
Yeah, because you think
does
about
Joey
it.
Joey Chestnut think this is defiling the hot dog?
Because you think
even
about
this,
it.
Somebody who just masticates.
That's true. All
in
right,
the
hold
most
on a second.
Unwatchable manner possible.
Because you know when they do those contests, they take the dogs, they dip them in what looks like water, and then they eat them to make them.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So
I'm going to.
He's
what
done.
What if you just start sipping the water through it and you say, screw it, I'm going to blow the competition, but I'm just going to.
All right, I'm going to tag Joey Chestnut and ask for a ruling.
I want to hear from him.
Joey Chestnut.
I want to hear from the madman. Hour one in the books.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.